Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a pastor friend of mine up in Seattle. Actually, he's the fellow that we pray for now. This is Pastor Bill Ellis. He's the one who has had a stroke and is no longer able to serve in the pulpit. Wonderful man. And he tells a story about when he was serving in Seattle one time. A lady came to his office, and she was moaning about how difficult life had been for her. She didn't have this, and she didn't have that. It was all about the possessions that others seemed to have. She also moaned about her jobs, about her relationships, and her family. Then suddenly, her face brightened. And she told Pastor Ellis, "At least I can thank God that I'm not greedy or materialistic." Was she ever wrong? She was as greedy and materialistic as anyone my friend had ever met. Greed has nothing to do with the number of possessions that you have. It has everything to do with the condition of your heart. And a heart greedy for the things of this world, I guarantee you, will always be disappointed. But in the gospel lesson today, Jesus says that a heart that's hungry for God's word is a heart that is satisfied with true treasure. Now, that kind of hunger, that kind of greed, so to speak, that can be a good thing. It can be good to be greedy as long as it's for God's word. Look at the bulletin cover. I want you to read this with me, please, out of Luke. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." There your heart will be also. Our heart is connected to our treasure. Now, it's true that what we value most tells us something of who we are. Where our heart is where we find our treasure. Think of it this way. What do you stand for? What do you stand for? What are you willing to do anything in order to gain? Let me put it another way. What are you willing to sell yourself for? If we want hearts that grow in faith and in strength toward God, then we lay aside our own desires and allow the heart of Christ to fill us. To seek what He says is valuable, that's what we want our hearts to be set on. And today, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God, go back one, would you please? There we go. That the kingdom of God is the only thing worth trading our hearts for. Only the kingdom of heaven, only the kingdom of heaven is worth your heart. He proved that by bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth in His very own body. He brings the kingdom of heaven near to us, and He even puts it into us when we come forward to take communion. In communion, we take His kingdom into our very mouths. That kingdom says we are worth the broken heart of Christ on the cross. He was willing, and He broke His heart for us so that we would see of what great worth you are to God. God was willing to sell His heart to gain you and I for Himself as His people. This world as His people. In the cross, in the sacrifice of Christ, for our sin on that instrument of death, it is there that we see where God's heart treasure is. There, by the death of his only begotten Son, we see that he has set his heart on us. So, what can we possibly seek here on earth in the here and now that is greater than God's kingdom? Oh, yeah, you might say, of course, I'll be glad to go to that kingdom, but let's wait till the sweet by and by. That's nice. But Jesus today doesn't tell us to wait for it. No, instead, he brings that kingdom to us, and he does it now. He does so by his actions and by his words. By his actions, Jesus brings us the kingdom of God. His first action on earth was his coming to earth as an infant, as the seed of Abraham that was promised long ago that we read about in the Old Testament lesson today. Jesus came and he lived the perfectly obedient life to all of the demands of God's law. He came to us and met the requirements that we could not. And he came to the cross. He came to the cross and to his bloody death, the death that should have been ours. But there's yet one more way that Jesus comes to us in his actions. And that's in his coming forth from the grave and rising triumphantly over death. Christ is risen. Very good. In all of these things, Jesus comes to us. Jesus brings us the kingdom of God. And by these actions, he makes it possible to give us his righteousness in exchange for the filth of our sin and our unworthiness. That he does in his coming to us through his work in baptism. Through his action at the baptismal font, he brings us into the citizenship that's ours in heaven right now. That action is yet again his coming to us through the healing and the life-giving water combined with his word to deliver us into the kingdom of heaven. And that brings us now to the inheritance that Jesus has left for us. His word. His word. It's in his word. It's in the Bible that we can right here. And right now, begin to grow and to be nurtured in that kingdom that he, through his actions, has made ours. It is ours both now and not yet. It is yet to come. It seems that what God wants to give us in his word, so oftentimes it seems we want to turn away from that. Luther has said this, "Ah, how impious and ungrateful is the world, thus to condemn and persecute God's ineffable grace. And we ourselves who boast in the gospel and know it to be God's word and recognize it as such, yet we hold it in no more esteem and respect than we do Virgil or Terence." Luther goes on and he says, "Truly, I am less afraid of the Pope and his tyrants than I am of our own ingratitude towards the Word of God." It's odd. It's odd how we act with what God stands ready to give to us. God's given to us his Word to learn from. It's there for us to grow by. It's there for us to benefit from. And yet we so often think that God's trying to force something onto us. It's the opposite that's true. God is giving us. He is giving to us what is best for us in and through the seed of his word. We're the ones who gain the benefit when we set our hearts firmly in and on the word of God. How much scripture have you memorized? If Stephen were here, he'd shame us all, I think. How much do I have memorized? How many hours or minutes a day are spent in your life on Bible study? How many hours a week? How would someone know that you have set your heart on heaven? Jesus indicates today that one of those ways is by the time you spend on growing and maturing in the Lord, and the other is in how we treat the poor. Remember the questions that were asked a couple weeks ago about how do you spend your time and that sort of thing? You remember those questions? We're called to grow. We are called to grow in God's grace. We're to live that grace. We are to live that day by day by day. Now, you don't mature in grace simply by holding a Bible. We're told in many places in the Bible to grow, to mature, to become stronger in faith. One of the things that we hold each other accountable for here at Zion Lutheran Church is what's the first word?
Hearing.
Hearing the gospel. That's right. We are to store up treasure in heaven through the study of God's word. I don't know if you've heard this supposedly true story before about these folks that were shipwrecked on an island many, many, many years ago in the South Seas. It was early in the spring of the year. Fortunately, everybody was saved. Everybody made it to shore. And along with enough food for many months and several sacks of seed for planting. But hardly had the people reached shore when somebody discovered gold on the island. Well, everybody started to furiously go around and dig up gold, and they kept going further in and digging more gold and heaping it up for themselves. All of them were dreaming about the day that they would be rescued and have all of this great hoard of wealth with them. They forgot all about the seed. They forgot all about the need to plant and to harvest. They continued to dig and uncover gold as the fall winds began to blow. And then soon enough, the cold of winter settled on them. And in the winter, they all died, every one of them, all of starvation. Sometime later, they were discovered dead and surrounded by their now useless treasure. How much do you trust God? Are you willing to put other things, the things of this earth, of this island that we live on in the universe, are you willing to set aside those things, to grow in the way that God would have you grow? Are you willing to trust Him and give over your time to mature in the faith that He has given you, like we talked about in Sunday school today? He has given you your faith as a gift. As Jesus says today in the gospel lesson, God knows what you need. He knows that you need the things of this earth regarding food and clothes and all of that. It's not those things that we're to be greedy for, is it? No, we're called to seek after His kingdom and to be greedy for that. The kingdom of heaven is given to us, given for us to live and to grow in here and now, not just in the sweet by and by. It's easy to live off the milk. But milk is for babies. Milk's great for growing bones and bodies, but it's not the food for the mature. Only by learning to develop a taste for the richer things of God's word, can we grow in the meat of Scripture. So I want to leave us with this challenge. Very oftentimes throughout the week, we're tempted not to read Scripture, and it's easy to give in to that temptation. But I encourage you this week to fight back against that. I want us to give ourselves permission to overcome that temptation and to see what happens as a result of it. When the temptation comes to ignore Scripture, stop and consider that for a moment. Stop and recognize what's happening and ask yourself, am I being greedy the right way? Remember that a heart that's hungry for God's word is a heart that is satisfied by true treasure. So everybody, take out your packet of seeds. Got your packet of seeds? Show me your packet of seeds. I want to make sure you got them. Let me see. Where's your packet of seeds? Everybody got your packet of seeds? Everybody got one? Okay, good. Good. So what I want you to do is I want you to set them out someplace so that you can be reminded of those people that were on that island that were shipwrecked. Remember what's important for life now. Don't read the instructions. These are just a metaphor. They're there to remind you that time that is spent planted in God's Word yields for us a harvest for life. This isn't a matter of earning points with God. It's a matter of storing up true treasure, treasure from the seed of God's Word. And perhaps do one other thing this week. I want you to memorize just one new verse this week. Just one. Memorize that verse and see what comes of that. After all, God's word of grace is what we treasure most for life now and for life everlasting in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please rise.